born like this, into this. As the chalk faces smile, as Mrs. Death laughs, as political landscapes dissolve, as the oily fish spit out their oily prey, we are born like this, into hospitals which are so expensive that it's cheaper to die, into lawyers who charge so much it's cheaper to plead guilty, into a country where the jails are full and the madhouses closed, into a place where the masses elevate fools into rich heroes. Born into this, walking and living through this, dying because of this, castrated, debauched, disinherited because of this. The fingers reach toward an unresponsive God. The fingers reach for the bottle, the pill, the powder. We are born into the sorrowful deadliness. There will be open and unpunished murder in the streets. It will be guns and roving mobs. Land will be useless. Food will become a diminishing return. Nuclear power will be taken over by the many. Explosions will continually shake the earth. Radiated men will eat the flesh of radiated men. The rotting bodies of men and animals stink in the dark wind. And there will be the most beautiful silence never heard. Born out of that, the sun hidden there, awaiting the next chapter.
All right. Yeah. That's right. You know, I've listened to a lot of doomsday sort of scenarios, especially as a kid. It's like, well, I'm glad the science fiction. Oh, boy, oh boy. When you grow up and you start learning things, truth is a lot stranger than any fiction that can be told. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I could not agree more, V.
All right, so we're gonna get through a couple more articles. I really want to get to your court story here.
Yeah, okay, I'll do a couple more, and then we can get to my court story. This one, yeah, I actually said before the last break that the last headline that the feds allow grandmothers to get hugs again was maybe one of the saddest headlines. I'm paraphrasing again. That's not exactly what it was, but. This one may be one of the worst. It's in a year of death. This is from the New York Times, keep in mind. This comes from the illustrious writers at the New York Times. The literary gods over there at the New York Times. In a year of sexual deprivation, Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion served up the audio equivalent of a Sunday. And this article is lauding and singing the praises of the WAP song. New York Times is literally writing a song about how good WAP was from Cardi B, and they said they served up the audio equivalent of a Sunday. There's literally somebody that works for New York Times that got compelled enough to write a story. There's a whole story. It's not like a two paragrapher too. It's like you continue. So this So that may actually take over the saddest thing. And I guess I've got more stories, but I'll just end with these two, and I'll quickly tell my court story too. But these are two of the racist ones that I have here. And they're both from two different, and I saw it in one other one too, but I was like, man, that's just going to be a fluke. It was in one other place too, but this is from... This just goes to show how racist and collaborative, because I have two examples right here. There's a third one. I'm sure anyone can find it. I'm not doing the work for you. You guys are going to have to Google for yourself. I'm sorry, but if you're scoring at home, I'm at least giving you the headlines here. USA Today, marinating in disinformation, Black community fights COVID vaccine lies on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Basically saying the same thing as this headline here, New York Times actually has a way more racist headline, Black and Hispanic communities grapple with vaccine misinformation. They're grappling. They're small, frail, Black and Hispanic minds. They're grappling. They can't make any sense of it. These people are so racist that they're saying, this is the New York Times, the 10th of March, 2021. I'm sorry I'm ranting, but this is just absurd to me. Black and Hispanic communities grapple with vaccine misinformation. They're grappling with it. Oh, you ever heard of Tuskegee, New York Times? Maybe do a cursory Google search. Sorry, but I had to get those two out there. Absolutely nuts. Dude.
Well, and yeah, it's that whole, oh, look at them, they're dumb. And like, give me that vaccine, I'm not dumb. Yeah, get the F out of here. Listen, if people actually knew, okay, listen, if the law is not designed for me, okay, you put a white person through the court system, and then put a Black person through the court system, and see how dissimilar the treatment is. It can be for the same crime, but see how dissimilar the treatment is. Okay, so if you look at that, look at all the other aspects of life. Okay, Black man can't get a job. Black man can't get an apartment. Okay, so what do you think is up with the medicine? What do you think is up with the food? I'll give you an
example. Remember Bill Gates?
I'll give you an example. People, watch a documentary called The Culling. It's about fluoride in water. Now, there is a very specific part of this documentary where the scientist is talking about this information. You know, the fluoride, the negative effects of it does affect everyone, but it affects more Latinos than it does Caucasians by a large...
Also, there's scientific literature out there.
Well, hold on.
Sorry.
But it affects Latinos a lot more than it affects whites. And then there's an even bigger gap between the effects of Latinos and Blacks. Okay? Bigger. Much bigger. So they kind of found a poison that everybody can take. Just say, oh, everybody's drinking it. Everybody's drinking it. But no, you're the one. There's a certain group that's going to die from it first. Or there's a certain group that's going to have all the ill effects of it first. We are all people. We are all humans. But there is obviously subtle biological differences. Okay? There's not a lot of white people out there with sickle cell anemia. Or dark skin. So, yeah, that whole psychological ploy, they must be stupid. Oh, these primitive people are grappling for science. This little kid. Oh, I just want to... Oh, okay, yeah. That's going to be fired up. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, and... Oh. You were saying exactly what I was going to say, too, is that there's literature out there showing correlation between fluoride being more harmful to African-Americans and Latinos, disproportionately so. And not only that, Bill Gates is saying, and Melinda Gates is saying, we got to get this out to these people of color. We got to get it out to these people of color first. Like, do you guys not... You guys not pick up a history book? This sounds like Tuskegee. This sounds like Hitler. We got to get the people of color first. And these are the anti-racist people. This is supposed to be New York Times, the anti-racist that spent the whole year how George Floyd and everybody's racist, and now because it's something that the black community doesn't necessarily agree on with the New York Times, now their feeble minds cannot comprehend the science of a vaccine. Oh man, I'm gonna laugh.
It's not even, I can start
to laugh, man, but I don't know what else to do. It's funny, Doc.
Well, there's always more to it. There's always more to it. Let me put you in my shoes once again, just for a brief moment. Now, let's say that there's something wrong with the vaccines. Let's say, yeah, sure, it's affecting everybody. But if I'm not in a class action lawsuit, I'm not going to get any money from that. I'm not going to get paid damages. If I go and sue individually, they'll play all those stupid mind games like that. You know, as I'm walking in the courtroom and as they got their hand on my back and talking to me like I'm stupid and trying to walk me on out of the courtroom. That we know the kind of treatment that we're gonna get because we always get the crap end of the stick. So we know better. We've learned. So that's just another example why we just don't want any of it. No, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. No. Tell us we're dumb. No. We're actually smart. We wised up. Thank you very much. Yeah, there's just no accountability. We are not going to see, we're not going to get justice in court. It's not going to happen. And that's the unfortunate reality of it. So, it's, wow. That's racist. What, you know, psychological warfare. You know, I mean, that's some junior high school girl bully kind of stuff. I mean, I'm a little, I don't know. I'm irked by that. I don't know exactly how to feel about that, but I'm irked. Slightly disturbed, a little dumbfounded, kind of pissed. Just, that's ridiculous. That is entirely ridiculous. And how many white people actually believe that, would you think? Actually believe that headline?
You know, luckily I don't really have a friend circle that I could say reads the New York Times. I do know that one side of my family definitely is brainwashed by the mainstream side of the media, and they definitely lean liberal, at least most of them, not all. I don't know if, I think there's only maybe one or two of them that really keep up on the news like that. I think they just get the general headlines and stuff like that. I couldn't say, I mean, me too, I was always like, my high school was like 90% minority, and you know, pretty much I've lived in housing projects and different places in my life, and I was kind of lived not in the richest neighborhood. So I don't really have, I unfortunately don't have the greatest thermometer for white people, unfortunately, but I'm working on that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just saw that and it really struck me, and because there was actually, I mean, I literally go through ABC News, CBS News, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, NBC, New York Times, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, Bloomberg. I skip Vice News most times. HuffPost, CNET, NPR, Newsweek, Time. I go through InfoWars. I go through all my alternative people. And then I have Google News, which is a feed aggregated based on my searches. So it has things like Ghislaine Maxwell articles or things that I'll look into. So if they're tracking me, might as well get cool articles recommended based on your tracking, you know? So I go through that, and it was like, that's like the third article. But sometimes what happens when you're scanning through these articles is it's happened to me many times where I'll click to open in another tab, and they'll either change the headline, because they did it one other time with this racist headline. Yeah, I remember they did it one other time when I was on the show. I opened up in another tab, and the headline originally, and it was definitely on a left-leaning platform. I don't recall which specifically, but the headline was, and it was about the little girl, the 9-year-old black girl that got choked out, slammed to the ground, and put in the detained, pepper sprayed, put in the back of a car, handcuffed, all this other stuff. And the headline, and this is like on one of those super liberal platforms, mainstream but liberal, and saying, oh yeah, mother of the girl who cops are accused of doing this to, it's not accused of, or appears to, I forget the exact thing, but they were like accused to, they were like still trying to stick up for the cops, like at the thing. And by the time I reloaded it on the other page, the headline had changed. So that changes a lot. They edit stuff in real time. That's why the Internet Archive is real important for the people to go there and check things out and keep up with it. Do some curating yourself too. And that's another good way to get around the paywall too, which comes up because you can only read so many Newsweek, New York Times articles before they hit you with the paywall and the block. So,
yeah, you know, yeah, those four cops, that terrible, terrible, impoverished woman can't raise these filthy animals. we have to teach a lesson for you. You know, if I had a bullet for every... Okay. Got any more articles?
I mean, I got plenty. I got plenty. Not, some are cooler than others, but I'll definitely talk a bit about my court experience. So now, just to give you guys a little bit of background, if you're just tuning in, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but I'm out here in Providence, Rhode Island. ECYF is our version of CPS. Had a protest. A year and a week ago, it was students from Brown University, Rhode Island College, RISD, the Moors were there, Black Lives Matter was there, Spanish people, regular black people, regular Asian people, white people, families of people that have had their kids taken away, victims of abuse. We had a protest, which continued to the state capitol. I asked several times, when specifically does the First Amendment stop and free speech end and disorderly conduct begin? Didn't get an answer. I got arrested for disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, which I definitely did not do. It's on video from multiple angles. So it's over a year now, and I'm still at hearings. I'm still at like basically preliminary hearings, and I got into this whole situation with the Moors, who the police went to their house with the Violent Fugitive Task Force to serve them a warrant a week later because they said that one of them assaulted an officer. That same person is a female and was on video next to this officer, was allowed to leave and come back through security and was not arrested. But somehow, a week later, the Violent Fugitive Task Force shows up. Well, it's interesting because they have no record of violence. They have no criminal record. They're not fugitives. They're not a task force either. But they show up to the house, and they don't show up with any badges. They show up in plain clothes. They admit they had to, when they asked for a warrant, they had to go across the street, acting fishy as heck in not the best neighborhood. And then these guys are drawn into it. And I always was like, yo, the Moors are so cool. I'd be watching them on YouTube. I would love to get involved with these guys. So now it's come to the point where our cases have been intertwined. It's a year later. The Moors have filed for a violation, a writ, a motion. It's actually a writ, not a motion, but a violation of the Sixth Amendment, fair and speedy trial. And also, I believe in 1970, somewhere between 1970 and 1974, they passed the Speedy Trial Act, which I'll Google and make sure I know it forever and ever next time. But they passed the Speedy Trial Act, which guarantees Americans a right to a speedy trial within 70 days. It's now been well over 365 days for the both of us. That was not even really heard. We went into the court today, and keep in mind, this is the same court here in Rhode Island where I confronted a local, and this is going to get into a little story here, but I confronted this local guy who basically opposed a law that would prevent adults from raping children they work with. Fair minimum. This is a true story. So I confronted him about it. He got mad. Got a restraining order against me. I've never threatened violence. I don't have a criminal record. I've only seen him at the state house. The corrupt court upheld it. And who was in that court? Another twist to the story. Yeah. This guy named Dana Smith. This dude's like 6'7", maybe not, 6'5", black dude, like 300 pounds, dude's freaking huge, and he's the head of security at this courtroom, and he walked into the room while I was getting my restraining order kept up against me. So here we have this huge guy with a weapon and the power of the state behind him, and he's in this thing, he's entering the courtroom when this guy's getting a restraining order against me, someone who does not have a criminal record, who's never ever called for violence, goes out of his way not to call for violence, and only seeing this guy at the state house, this same guy who's the head of province security, who is also still the head of security now for my new case, threatened to shoot me and Auditing America in broad daylight in downtown Providence, and this was even covered by some small people on the local news here. And, yeah, no backlash, no cancel culture for him. And this guy gets a restraining order upheld against me for freedom of speech. Meanwhile, the guy coming in the room has threatened to murder me in broad daylight, and I didn't do anything about it because I ain't a BS. All right? I can say BS. I could have said it a cooler way, but I didn't. So then, last time, because they keep postponing and just saving us for last, me and Jamal from the Rise of the Moors, shout out to Rise of the Moors, go find him on YouTube and RiseOfTheMoors.org, keep saving us for last. And they just give us a new date and a new date. So then they transferred us up to this other court, which, like I said, Dana Smith, the guy that threatened to murder me, broad daylight in the news, he's the head of security there. So I walk in with my trademark backwards hat and my $6 sunglasses. And he says, "Hey, what are you here for?" And I say, "Court." And this is last time I went, about 2 weeks ago. He was like, "Can you take those glasses off?" I said, "Is that a law?" And he says, I kind of like joke because he felt stupid because he was around like some of his friends. He was like, "No, I just don't want to have to see myself in the mirror because I have mirror kind of laden glasses." So I took them off. I was like, Took them off, whatever. Right? So then I go in there, and it's so sad how they treat the slaves in a courtroom because they know you can't do anything back. And it's so pathetic and sad, and I feel like crap. You got everybody lined up. As soon as you walk over in the area, some guy's yelling at you. "Oh, you, pointing fingers. Oh, over here. No, no." Literally yelling at people. "Oh, you can't sit there. Six feet apart." Yelling at people. 6 feet apart. "You, over here." Even the judges. Not the judges, but the lawyers calling people. "You," even the public defenders. "You, come in here." Like they're their dogs. You're public servants. You guys work for us. And especially these so-called public defenders, you should really be having mercy on these people, not ordering them around and barking them around like these cops are ordering or some people around, literally ordering people around like dogs. So I already remember that from the first time. And then I was in there last time asking some guy, there's no cameras on, asking him about the Constitution. There was one cop in there who, you know, there's always one cop that tries to pray friendly, but this guy may be a legit one of the 5 percenters of cops that actually is a good guy. I don't know. Maybe he's just playing cool, but I will say that just to be fair and balanced. This other guy was asking about the Constitution last time. Didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I started rambling on some weird stuff. So then I get in there this time. I go through. Not the guy that threatened to shoot me in broad daylight goes through. The cop that's kind of cool with me asked me the COVID questions. And this is the standard for the last year. Every time you go,
You got any flu-like systems? Do you have a cough? Have you been outside of the state? Have you been asked to quarantine? Da, da, da. One time I'm just going to be like, yes. And so delay my trial indefinitely because I've got COVID for the rest of my life. So F off, right? So you have to go through that. Everybody has to wait outside, or at least in the other court. Anyways, long story short, so I go in there today, and I know there's this one snappy guy from the court. He's always ordering people around because I've known him from the last few times. So I'm walking through the hallway with my head and my phone looking down, and I hear some guy say, sir, sir, but it's far away, so I don't think they're talking about me. And then I hear, sir, sir, but I'm like, if you know my name, or say, hey, hey, Will, like excitedly, that's cool. Or if not, like, come up to me and talk to me, right? I'm not, just because you're, sir, 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 I'm not going to, what? So I wait till this guy all comes all the way up to me. He's like, sir, sir, what are you doing here? I was like,
you know, you should, when they did that to me, and I said, don't call me sir, I work for a living.
See, yeah, I'm writing, I'm going to write
sorry,
these down.
Arby joke.
I'm going to write these down, basically, because, I mean, you do get better over time. You think of things that you should have said afterwards. But this dude walks up to me, sir, sir, sir. Well, what are you doing here? I'm like, court. I have court. He's like, oh, well, I was trying to talk to you. I was like, oh, you should have just came up and talked to me. I didn't know you were talking to me. You know, not even in a condescending way. He's like, okay, have a seat. Then I was like, is it cool if I stand? He's like, yeah. And then he walks off, like, muttering under his breath, and he starts talking junk to the guy next to him, whatever. I'm like, I don't even give a damn. Like, most of the cops in Rhode Island know me. There's cops all over the country that know me, unfortunately, but most definitely in Rhode Island, they all know who I am. So, almost. There's a large majority, I should say. So, then after that, we've been having to wait for a long time. This time, there's only, like, two people in the courtroom besides us, and we're supposed to go into courtroom 4. And then at the last second, I know we're coming up to break in a minute here, so I'll save the last part of the story for after the break, but they switch courtrooms on us at the last minute, and then it gets even more interesting after that. Tease. My new catchphrase. Tease. It's a terrible catchphrase. I'll work on something else.
Yeah, please work on that. well, you know, you're not the only person who has gone through a similar situation. The owner of this productions, Anthony Thomas. Yeah, it was a video online by someone who said that they were going to stab Anthony Thomas. If I ever see him, I'm gonna stab him. I'm gonna stab him. It wasn't hearsay. It wasn't. It was a published video on Facebook. Now, I would say about 10 people went to the feds. I called the feds. See, if they were doing anything, I knew they wouldn't. And lo and behold, they didn't do a damn thing. They didn't even take down a report when follow-up calls were made. So, I know I have been in situations where, you know, someone accused me of doing something, and it's, you know, that whole, let's go get him, okay? And guilty till proven innocent, you know, standing around in handcuffs, you know, it took 4 white people to say, no, that's not him, before they would let me go. So, the system is most definitely broken and biased. I'll definitely say that for sure. So, we're going to take another break, last break, and then we'll be back, finish off the show. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are back. Yeah. You know, I got a few things to say about your situation, Will, but I think we're going to go ahead and head to the phone lines first. I believe we have, let's see, Idaho, line one. Go ahead.
Hi there. It's not 70 days. Can you hear me?
Hey, go ahead, yes.
All right. So when they say 70 days that you're going to have a court date, that's just a bunch of BS, because the first court date, and then they say, well, we're going to hold that over to the next one, and then the next one, and all of a sudden you're 2 years into things to try to sort out some little sorted matter. It's really a bad situation.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I was looking it up during the break. It's the Speedy Trial Act of 1974. And that's the thing, is the Constitution was built to keep tyrants in order, and it did a pretty good job, better than what we had before. And then tyrants found a way around it, And then there's good people who made the Speedy Trial Act of 1974, and then tyrants just play semantical games and just, you're right, they just disregard it. So, I mean, what are we really to do when they just disregard our rights all the time?
Yeah, I don't know what we're really going to do. But I've got to say, you know, with your head stuck down in your phone and looking at that, I cannot stand millennials looking at their phone instead of looking up and being alive.
You're right. And let me tell you, in my defense, I'm typically not like that. I'm actually somebody that when I'm around people, I'm present. I usually keep my phone away. However, it's something about being in enemy territory in those courtrooms. They usually keep me there for 4 or 5 hours. They say be there 9:30. By 2 o'clock, the judge doesn't sit down till 11:12. They don't call on us till 2. And I really have I bring the Constitution with me all the time, and I bring my phone. You're absolutely right, and I appreciate you actually calling me out for that and keeping me honest. I try not to do that, but it's just at that time, I'm kind of overwhelmed. So I actually really appreciate you calling me out for that, because you're absolutely right.
Thank you. Thank you for that, sir. You're awesome. All right. So we've got two things that we can fight back. Where can we fight back? How can we take this back from the court system? The system is definitely weighed against the people like us. The FBI has shown that they're not. The FBI has shown that they are going to take down the Patriots of America. That is what their clutches are all about right now. And the whole court system, the Supreme Court, has agreed with them, and the DOJ has agreed with them. So we've got a whole court system that is against anybody who thinks that America is great. How do we take that back? How do we make America great again in light of what we have seen happen?
Well, first off, everyone, if you have to go to court, you have to support the system. But showing up in court, be sure to ask for a trial by jury. That's number one. Yeah, definitely study up on your own case. If you can represent yourself, it's really not hard. I would start with Black's Law first, and then go into whatever specific laws are in your area and for your specific case. Once you get that whole, because when you read Black's Law, it gives you that sort of formula, the basic mathematics of law, which today's current laws have gotten away from, and that's how you can call these people out on their crap for their regulations and their mandates and codes, which are not law.
But how do you stop the DOJ and the FBI from destroying American patriots, which have just been saying America is great, we want to stop these crazy people from taking over our election and making America a real bad place? How do we, when they turn around and say every one of you are a criminal and a terrorist, how do we stop that?
Yeah, start taking the system down. I don't know. Like I said, on the previous episode, when you see a cop harassing somebody, and it's obvious harassment, you need to get involved. Walk over to the scene. Ignore any threats of charges of obstruction of justice. You know, one or two people walk up, and, you know, more people need to walk up. And we start clustering around these cops as they're harassing people for the sake of revenue. We need to mob these people, really, to tell you the truth.
So what I think is a good idea is we still don't have the numbers. I agree with what you're saying, too. But I think we still don't have the numbers to really affect change. So I think what we need to do is just continue to, like, rapid fire spread the information, not just in links, but I used to work at a retail store, a very big retail store, and the turnover was crazy. Like, I work with different people every weekend, and I just decided, I'm going to tell every single person I see today that I work with, because I didn't need that job. It was just a retail job. I know some people can't do this in their job, so, you know, take a day at the park or whatever it is. Choose your own location. It can be anywhere. In line for COVID vaccine, whatever you want. I just told everybody there, I was like, all right, what's something that's like something short and quick where I could tell somebody that would get them down rabble? Rabble? And at that time, I was talking about Building 7. And I told them, hey, did you guys ever see that 9/11 Building 7 was broadcasted down on three separate networks before it even fell down and wasn't even hit by a plane? Do you know a third tower fell that day? And then the next week I came back, I told seven people, only one of them got back to me. But he was like, yo, I actually looked in what you told me. And my dad thought I was crazy, and he looked in, and he was like, well, that's crazy. So we just got to get the numbers up, man. We got to get out and tell people. We got to be, like, ringing the bells, and the British are coming. Not the red coats now, but it's the lab coats are coming. We need to hit the streets and tell everybody the lab coats are coming. I know we definitely dropped D there because that was an awesome joke.
I'm reeling from it right now. Yeah.
You're hilarious. Oh man, I'm so funny.
Well, yeah. I mean, we definitely need to take charge. We need to be able to say no. No, I don't think so. No. It's going to get to the point, and I honestly hope that it does. We need to have, and you know, people are freaking out in these certain areas where they defunded the police and there are no police zones. Oh, well, crime kind of went up. Well, what do we do now? Well, at this point, you buy a gun. It's like, the math is so simple on that. It kind of hurt to think that nobody else thought of the next stage there. So, you get rid of these corporate dogs. It's your responsibility to defend yourself, protect yourself. Yeah. Don't be lazy. Come on, you can go get a gun permit. You can go practice. Go ahead. So, yeah, the news was just all using that point. Oh, crime went back up. See, we need the police. No, people just did not follow up with what it was they were supposed to do.
No, that's because the police didn't have anybody holding them accountable in their own neighborhood, so they just started doing what they were doing anyways, and then there's nobody there to write it down. There was just, you know, there's no one to hold them accountable. They're breaking the law anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not a math guy.
Yeah, so, Marcus, do you have any other questions or comments? Oh, okay. I guess he just asked this question in dropped off the line. Okay. So I guess, I hope we answered your question. So, Will, are you taking my advice? Are you putting in the paperwork? You going to get the camera recordings of your trial?
Yeah, and I'm working with the Morris to do this other stuff, too. I'm learning it as I go, kind of on the fly with these guys. What I learned, so kind of to finish the story really quick, because I know we're winding down here, too, the last 15 minutes or so. So to briefly finish the story, we're supposed to go into courtroom 4, and then at the last second, they call us into courtroom 3, just me and Jamal by ourselves, and I'm like, oh, damn, what, this is not going to be good. So we go in there, and the same cop that was ordering me around says, take your hat and your glasses off, da-da-da, and I said, is that a law? And he said, it's my law! And I was just like, kind of like, whatever, laughed when I went in. And then, so I'm sitting there on the bench, and it's just the stenographer, the clerk, and the state prosecutor, me and Jamal, and two guards, two Capitol Police. And then the other guys, as I'm sitting there scrolling through my phone, and I know I shouldn't be scrolling through my phone, but I'm kind of doing it as an act of contempt for their so-called, it's like, I couldn't be bothered with you. Usually I'm not in my phone guy, but I'm using that as a signal to them, like, go screw yourself. I couldn't even be bothered with you. I'm scrolling through my phone. You guys aren't even important. That's the sub-communication there. So then this other guy's like, can you get off your phone because the judge is about to come? Like, it's the freaking Queen of England. I wouldn't get off my phone for the Queen of England. I was like, is that like a law? And he was like, it's court decorum. I was like, so me wearing my hat is court decorum. And then the judge was about to come in. I was going to ask him, are you fashion police or are you a law enforcement? Are you decorum enforcement? So anyways, we get in there. Jamal is saying his stuff. The judge is saying basically like, okay, this is a new judge they put in front of this. So they've already been telling this to several different judges over a year. This is a new judge. Oh, I don't know, whatever. So I get up there. And I'm doing the jury trial, and he basically tells me, he's like, well, you know, you're gonna unfortunately have to wait for a jury trial because we're waiting for the Supreme Court Justice of Rhode Island to let us know basically when we can have things with the pandemic. And I say right after that, yeah, I know with COVID, canceled the Constitution. And he retorts back really quickly, no, it didn't cancel the Constitution. COVID has not infected the Constitution. Well, they just played my boy's Speedy Trial Act. It's been well over that. And even most legal scholars will say 8 months. The rule of thumb is 8 months on it. The Speedy Trial Act of 1974 is 70 days. It's already been a year. So you just played him on that. And so they're basically telling me, and meanwhile, I'm not supposed to leave the state or do anything like that when I'm out this. It's been a year. I'm not supposed to have left the state for a whole damn year over disorderly conduct because I want a trial. So they're basically holding me ransom in Rhode Island, the most terrible damn, not one of, one of the most terrible damn states. And he tells me also, we don't even know when we're going to have a trial by jury. I'm just going to come back like every 2 or 3 weeks, say, hey, what's up, guys? Yo, let's see when you... It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous, dog. And I'm not, I know there's people out there a lot worse, going through a lot worse crazy stuff, but I'm just a regular white boy trying to stick up for my rights, and this is how they're treating me. So, imagine. Mahina say.
Well, you know... I really want you to crush these people. I really want you to crush them in the courthouse. But, word of advice, don't talk about the stuff we talked about on the show. They'll screw with you big time.
Yeah, I'm being somewhat cautious, somewhat, a little bit, not too cautious. But I'm going hard at him. I'm not gonna give up. I'm gonna try every legal, lawful thing. I'm going to do it all by the books. The Moors have gotten 11 cases dismissed, and they just barely started this. So it's interesting to me because this is something that this is awesome. This is like me, part of me earning my stripes as an activist. But it's also, you know, it's so different when you see a couple clips of Moors in the courtroom. But then when you're actually in the same police report as them and you're getting moved into court and you're the last one in there with these guys and you actually get to see how it works. So I'm going through this right now. And, you know, they roll over people 99 out of 100, 999 times out of 1,000 times. They'll get you to cop a plea, some dumb BS. It never goes to trial. The jurors have no idea about the Constitution. The lawyers do, and they're screwing you on both sides. The judge knows more often than not. Some are brainwashed, and they're just screwing you, screwing you, screwing you all day long. And so I've audited the police officers. I've audited Hillary Clinton, the Biden family. I've audited those people. Now I'm auditing the courtroom. I didn't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to stay in Rhode Island, but I'm going to do this. If you think you're just going to arrest me for no reason, then lie and say that I'm resisting. Even when the damn thing's on video, for freedom of speech, when I'm protesting the fact that you thugs are out here squelching my freedom of speech, while you should be arresting the people responsible for the children in DCYF care who died and were pimped out. But no, you're arresting me. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm gonna give you the full might of the legal thrust of this white thunder right here. No more catchphrases tonight. I'm gonna have to start drinking.
Yeah, okay. you know, I was gonna say something, but you know, I'm gonna go ahead and skip it. let's go to Kentucky, line one.
The only problem with the drinking is that you know, when you sober up, you still got the same problems. You just got less time to solve them. Maybe a few less brain cells. Can you hear me?
That's true. And I also look even worse than I do now, so you're absolutely right. Thank you. I'm getting guardian angels calling me all day today, so thank you guys for the positive feedback. I honestly really love that, and that's some anybody can say something nice like, hey, good job, you guys are awesome, but when you guys are giving honest feedback that actually builds people up, that's incredible. So thank you guys. I love it.
Well, the worst thing of all is this stupid fructose that's all through our diet that's not bound up with pectin, and your liver can't handle it any better than it does alcohol, but it's turning us into like batteries of the profit matrix for these big pharmas, so that you end up on their products the last 20, 30 years of your life and miserable. So if you can avoid the pop, well, there's all kinds of sources of fructose, and, you know, a lot of youngsters are ended up with fatty liver disorder at 10 because, and metabolic disorder because the juicy juice is pure fructose from pear juice and grape juice. But anyway, V, I left you a message on your office line with my contact info if you want to call me tomorrow. Are we still on for a segment tomorrow night?
All right, two? Absolutely.
Okay, man. I didn't know if plans had changed. I might have missed an email or something. So.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Okay. Got a lot of information.
Well, yeah, we can cover the gamut here from all these industries that have been captured by the government agencies that have been captured by the industries they're supposed to regulate, you know, not just the USDA and the FDA, but the FCC and right on down the line. I mean, it's a big part of the problem. I'm not a big regulation guy, but they're supposed to be earning their keep.
Yeah,
regulators.
They're not earning their keep. They're becoming ladies of the evening. Pimped out portions of the government, you know. Huh? Yes, some hoes, man. Yeah, and like you said, the courts are so compromised, you can't expect justice in there. From what I've heard, they do venue shopping, federal government does venue shopping, where they'll find the venue that has the least chance of you having a chance, and the bet, you know, that, like you say, it's a 1 out of 1,000 chance or 5 out of 1,000 chance, if you're lucky, that you're going to come out ahead. The juries are all filtered, or they don't know anything about jury nullification, and you have to bet that there's some members of secret societies, be it Mason or people with security clearances, that are on those juries that are going to try to steer them away from you being innocent if you do go to the jury, and then they try to make it rigged where they give you an offer you can't refuse. Like, well, if you'll just plead guilty to these lesser charges, it'll be 3 years in jail, but if you don't, it's going to be 30 with no chance of parole for 10.
Exactly.
You know, stuff like that. Yeah, so it's all rigged. And what you have to consider, too, is I think most of these courts are considered Justice Department administrative venues. They're not anywhere constitutional judicial branch courts. They've been hijacked by the executive department. So, and we're under, who knows, 30-some national emergencies.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So, the old French flags everywhere, eagles on top, tassels, all of that's a corruption of the flag, according to the Title 4 United States Code, flag seal, seat of government. I've seen the originals that in one library got checked out perpetually by a law professor that had the footnote in there from, I think, 1925 Attorney General, held it in my hand, looked at it, photocopied it. It said the gold fringe and the number of stars are at the discretion of the commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy. So that flag is a military flag. It's not the civilian judicial branch flag, and you're kind of on notice. Now, they rigged the case, went all the way to the Supreme Court with it, and declared it a frivolous argument to even bring that up. So, even though you can find it and prove it, look at the military regulations and, you know, statutes at large and whatever that talks about corrupting the flag. They won't hear it. It's uncognizable, just like all these Donald Trump cases and a lot of the stuff you bring up. You know, you're not a party. You don't have standing, all this fun stuff. You got the wrong colored cover sheet on your motion. Rejected. Yeah, it's just asinine. Now, supposedly, from what I was told by somebody learned in the law, the Miranda Rights case was actually handwritten on paper bags and smuggled out of prison and filed. And back when that Miranda case was heard by the courts, could do that. Not anymore. They've tied the screws down where you got to have everything formatted just right, the right font size and right color cover page and all this bull crap. Anyway, I'll talk to you
tomorrow. I'm looking forward to our talk tomorrow night. Guys, please listen in and call in as well. spectacular show. Thank
I'll
you,
I'll try Mo. To promo it locally.
Well, there you go. Absolutely. Go ahead. Guys, this has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. Me, host me. Amber, in the land of Chavellas, man with the Rise King. So please educate yourselves. Good night.
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the Red Pill.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.